It's time to spark it up with the Kennel Linguists.
I mean, look what happened in Colorado. They're like, oh, Colorado's going to run out of weed.
The fact that you got to go to McDonald's and get a value meal supersized on the state, that never happens anywhere.
With your hosts, April O'Connor.
You need to smoke weed after you go to the whorehouse because you're kind of being contemplative and wondering. Like a store gun store. Check cash in place. Sounds familiar.
And Alex Mandelberg.
It's like Tyson hit her in the vagina. That, I feel like, is where the line is. I feel like the line is, if it can make you better, it's performance enhancing.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but about Apple.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Talking about the Cannabis Cup, Amoeba Records, possibly to sell weed. I don't know. The Colorado pot sales topped $996 million. Australia to legalize medical marijuana here on the Cannel Linguists. Alex Mandelberg kicking it with the lady who I took the crispy belt off of last night, April O'Connor.
I popped your tits.
You did pop my tits, both of them.
And I hit you in the head with the microphone.
And hit me in the head with the microphone. And sitting with us, the very awesome guest. Hold on, I got to get my thing ready. Dinah Leffer. Woo, going crazy. The crowd's nuts. How you doing?
I'm really good. Thanks for asking.
So you were at the Cannabis Cup this week as well with so how was the Cannabis Cup?
With April Foolin'.
April Foolin'.
And Honey Pot.
And the Honey Pot. How did everything go up at the Cannabis Cup?
It was great. We had her slanging the rubdowns.
Yeah, oh, you were slinging rubdowns? Honey rubdowns?
I was doing honey rubdowns.
Man.
I got a nice shout out from High Times Magazine on their – I'm on their website now as a promo for – like it was one of their highlights of the event where they were saying the Honey Pot, you could get a sweet honey – you know, medicated sweet. Honey or a honey of a massage, and they had my picture on there. Oh, and we did a comedy
I had a picture
show.
Too, with the
wait,
treats,
so it was a
right?
honey massage?
Oh, she.
I feel like that could get real sticky real fast. A honey massage. There's a lot of sugar going on
we
in
make,
that.
We make lotion that has a little bit of honey in it.
But that's real sticky. I mean,
actually,
honey's
can
a
I tell
sticky
you something?
Thing.
Can I tell you something? It Please. Actually is a little bit sticky.
It's a little bit sticky
because they put the honey in it. That little bit of stick. But they also had this like, what's that?
And don't get me
alcohol,
wrong. Sometimes a little bit of stick can be good. I mean, that could be a little hot. You know, you're rubbing is a little bit of that.
When you pull
away, you're like, ooh,
yeah. It's very subtle.
That's
No. It's very subtle. It's very subtle. But I had also these like wipes. So at the end of the massage, you just wipe it down.
All right, rub it down.
But then we had this incredible comedy show on the Sunday of the last day of the cup, and it rocked. I mean, April shined in so many different ways.
Yes, the show that I was supposed to be at, but unfortunately was not able to make it.
Why not?
Because I was too busy being a man watching football.
Oh, well, we're the assholes for having a comedy show on Super Bowl Sunday. But that's our whole point is like not everybody.
No, not everyone watches the Super Bowl.
Watching the Super Bowl. And you know what?
No.
It's the first year where I literally didn't think about it. Really, more than for 1 second.
Well, the Patriots were in it, so I didn't give a fuck.
Exactly. The
Nobody
Patriots
cares
were in
about
it.
You and your team. Nobody cares about
no, but
you
they
and your
brought,
team.
They,
except for Eric Marino.
Right. Shout out to the professor. We were in the Vader Village, and Vader, they have a tendency to be a little bit flagrant about they give away a lot of free shit. They chose to broadcast the NFL game.
Which is highly illegal. Highly illegal.
And security was trying to shut it down. It was like a basically San Francisco.
You know that thing that they say before
they
the game starts
the
where they're
down?
Like, any undistributed rebroadcasting of this is without the express written consent of the NFL. Like, that's real shit.
But hear
you
this.
You can't. Sorry,
continue. That's true. That
they fined them $25,000, but you know what? That's chump change to them. Do you know how much money they spent on that stage and to give away all the free shit?
I would imagine at least like $100,000, probably.
Oh yeah, easily.
Probably like right around that neighborhood of $100,000 sounds probably about right. But $25,000 still, that's whew, just for showing a game.
Yeah.
Ouch.
But I mean, it was the this.
Did they ever get them to shut the game off, or did they get to play the whole game?
It was just like San Francisco when there was like this music battle going on and that the neighbors complained at the Cow Palace for the San Francisco Cannabis Cup.
Yeah.
The same crew of people. They were like, fuck you, we're not shutting the music down.
Yeah, this was Vader as well. I remember that story.
Security was around.
They turned the music down in San Francisco and then they handcuffed the generator so that they couldn't turn it back on. And so here, the security was around. They shut it down, but then eventually they turned it back on again, and I guess they're being fined. But it's like, who are they going to fine? Like, you know.
Well, they have someone to fine. I mean, believe me, if I know anything about Roger Goodell, and I'd like to think I know a little bit about the man, that man will not leave a penny, let alone $25,000 on the table. He will fine every illegal rebroadcast of that game that he can.
What is a Goodell again?
Wow, he's
a Goodell.
As a unit of measurement
of money is $10 billion.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I mean $25,000. We're not even talking about a tenth of a percent of a Goodell. But still,
how the wealthy talk.
That's how you got to care about every penny that drops. You can't acquire a Goodell of money until you care about every $25,000 that you can pick up on the ground. And I guarantee you he does.
You know their wives have exotic birds called Goodell.
This is my yellow-bellied Goodell. It's a Goodelling whopper.
It was fun. It was very interesting. It's very interesting to see even – like everybody's stoners, but there's still a lot of sensitive motherfuckers out there. You know, they get all butt hurt. They don't take comedy well. They get really serious. And they're like, oh, man, you're talking about.
Remember, though, we're teachers, though. Like, ultimately, at the end of the day, we're human beings and we learn by social interaction.
I'm just talking about how, like, we had.
They don't know. They're ignorant. They don't know the etiquette.
We had Jeremiah Watkins and Pat Reagan come and do.
Oh, nice.
They did, like, 45 minutes of, like, they have some very obscene songs.
That are hilarious. But that got them in trouble at the High Times Cup.
You know, I
with the other vendors that had a comedy show forced upon them.
Yeah, well, that's the big thing. Is I always say, especially in those big conventions, I have two things. First of all, in a big area like that, you are a bit afraid of what you said. You don't want to hijack people with a comedy show that they weren't expecting.
Right.
So
it better be funny.
You better bring it. But that also being said, I've been lucky enough to do comedy shows at six different marijuana themed venues. I've had like two of those shows go well because a lot of times people are either busy smoking, busy going to smoke, or doing that thing where they stare at you and you say a punchline and they smile, nod, and tilt their head back and just go, huh.
That's a laugh. You just got to know how to translate.
I mean,
come on, you're a stoner.
I know. I know. Listen, I know.
Though,
I'm just saying.
At any of those
shows, I'd be scared to do comedy in front of a room full of people like me. I would be scared.
Did you try to do crowd work in any of those shows? Just curiosity.
Yeah, I did, and that usually the crowd work went better than the material did usually. And when I was doing material, like I had to be very poignant about this is where the punchline is, and then people go, ha ha ha.
You have to like. Put a flashlight.
Yeah, you know, you're taking the Thomas guide out and you're pointing out exactly the directions to where your joke is. And then when you get to the joke, you circle it in a big highlighter and point and go, this is the joke. And they go, I get it. Yeah.
Well, I got to have you back in that show immediately.
No, actually, I was going to say the headroom was one of the two that actually went well. I enjoyed my time at the headroom.
Yeah,
but also, I needed to give you more time next time. So I owed you more time. So
oh, nice.
I'll give you a long set.
Sweet.
So come back.
Ooh, all right then. Get the shimmy going.
Get the shims.
I got a long set.
No, it was a weird night that night. I just remembered being like, damn, you know, I wanted to give you more.
I don't know.
I thought it was good. There was a lot of people.
It was good.
I just
comics
like
were
I
having
cut
very
his time short for
comics were
we
having
to get out of there by 10.
Comics were having very hit or miss sets during that show. It's like guys were either doing really well and people were listening, or everyone was just hitting the dabs and
dude,
chatting
I had
amongst
a huge
each
national
other.
Headliner fucking kind of bomb tonight.
Oh, jeez.
Kind of.
Like
you don't have to mention names. It's all right. What's the name? We only got like 100 listeners. It's all right.
So fucking modest.
Should we say?
Okay. Hey, I mean, you don't have
to. No, that's why I was asking about
it. Rhymes
about
with
the crowd work thing.
Samosa.
Samosa. Samosa. God, I'm so bad with names.
I just feel like it always depends on. There's a flow, even in whether or not people are smoking weed, there's always a flow of the show. If you happen to be in that pocket where you've got the attention span,
yeah,
then you kill. If you get on
Joe
that flow.
Joe DeSmosa.
Ah.
Shmoshma.
The Shmoshma. Shmoshma. I got it. All right. Okay. Yeah. Now at least I know who we're talking about.
Sometimes it's like if you get on that flow of like when they got to go pee or what, you just like there's an attention span. Like if you're lucky to get right there, you're good. No, sometimes you're not going to get everyone's full attention.
No, and then there are also those nights where you get up and you're the eighth comedian and you've watched 1 through 7. And all of them just are murder. Like everyone's just killing you. Like, oh my God, this is going to be one. Like you go up there almost with that confidence of just like, oh, y'all laughing at that. I got some jokes for your fucking ass right here.
Exactly.
I got those. And there's something weird when you go up there with that attitude of the big dick swinging for, I'm sorry to say that in a room of 2 female comics, but you can have a big dick swinging on the comedy stage too. But there's something
we're desensitized.
There's something about that when you go up with that. Yeah, holy crap, everyone's killing it, and I know I'm just as funny as any of these folks, so yeah, here we go. Although on the same page, those are the scariest nights for me. When everyone's killing before I get up, like that's that time where I go like, oh, if I bomb, it's just because I suck. And then I get really inside my own head.
No, but there's a rhythm. There's a time that someone's going to have to take the...
Someone's got to bite that bullet. Someone's got to bomb. Every show's got to have one. Does it?
It's because
I don't know. Does every show really need a bomb?
Well, because everybody has limited attention spans. So you might... It's going to be a little...
You can only get them through
one set before they got to check their fucking phone again. You know, if you lose them, you lose them. And you can tell when you lose them.
I think drunk crowds, everybody can kill. Stone crowds, I agree. I don't think everyone can kill. I think the attention span
combined with the comedian's false expectation, misguided expectation that comedy and stoners equals hilarity and giggling and everything's funny.
Not necessarily.
When it's when they're
you still need jokes.
It's like you can't just.
I feel like you need to be more
funny,
more entertaining to get the stoners to be vocal,
especially when they're dabbing.
Yeah,
dabbers.
Well, you need to be more. You need to be more engaging. You have to do something to engage them every 15 seconds, or you lose them. Whether it's a joke or just something to get their attention. Because it'll break.
Yeah, you have to engage them by like being direct. Like for me in there, like I have to hold their attention with like this direct. Like I see you, I'm looking at you. You're connecting with me. I'm connecting with you, and that's just how it's going to be because I say so.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're with me and they stay with me.
And this might seem like a weird thing though, but to me, if it's a convention, I don't care if it's a pot convention. Or a porn convention or a machinist convention. If it's a professional convention, it's clean comedy. A lot of people might disagree with me on that and like, it's comedy. So I was like, no, at a convention,
you know what?
Where
you're
professionals are selling things, it's clean.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I'll give you the PG-13
rules. He's right.
Rules.
I think he's right.
I definitely agree.
I'll give you the PG-13 rules.
I also didn't book
the
show.
You get two fucks, but those fucks better not be adjectives or commas. Those fucks better be part of an accentuated punchline that you need to accentuate something by saying fuck. You get two of them in a set.
Yeah.
PG-13 rules.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you can't count, you'd be like, why do I only get two? By the way, if you think that you can't count two, then you get none. Just don't use them.
That's very helpful, constructive criticism, and I appreciate that very much. I'm going to listen to this again before booking it for next year.
You're
I'm
great.
So sincere.
I'm saying nothing knowing because I just heard it was a wonderful show. That it was a wonderful show. I'm just saying from my experiences of doing conventions.
We have to work out the kinks, and I appreciate feedback like that because I also need to set up the vendors beforehand. Like we need to like be friendly neighbors and say, "Hey, this is what we're going to do," and set up their listening so they're not mad at us.
You don't want to hijack them with the comedy show, like you said earlier.
Given the opportunity to have a stage that someone else was managing, and then the you know, there was other people. There were some other musical acts that kind of at four. Okay, so I had a comic up there, and it was like 4:15, and I saw people starting to get towards the stage with all these giveaways, and I was like, okay, I lit him, and he's starting to wrap up, and then this older cholo like a rapper dude just like goes to the sound guy, takes one of the cordless mics, just is like, I'm taking over, and I'm like, no, you're fucking not. Wait, you know, and I like got on the stage and I'm like trying to like intervene and like make it seem like it was part of the show.
Dude, April kicked ass.
Oh, no. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
That's terrifying. That's the nightmare right there.
Because what was
That's the fucking nightmare.
We got.
He just took over in his like cholo compression socks.
Oh no.
So bad. I was like, no, wait. You know, like, give me a fucking minute. Like, I lit him. He's getting off in 2 minutes. Like, let him fit. And then he was such a trooper. He was just like, all right, you know, you're sick of hearing about me and my white girlfriend. He's like, I'm going to get off the stage now. And I was like, yeah. And now, and I heard there's going to be a takeover. Like, head cue. I had to, like, he tried to just, like, interrupt his shit. And I was like, nah, bro, you're not going to do that. You're not going to disrespect who's on stage right now.
That's not how this works.
It's not how it works. So, and then there was another musical performance at the end, too, that after the comedy was over, everybody kind of just left. So
before we move on, overall takeaway from the Cannabis Cup, good experience?
Fantastic.
Yeah. Fantastic experience.
Yeah, I want to just say publicly, you know, to April, thank you for inviting me into Honey Pot. It was an honor to serve you guys. And the community. It was really my honor and my privilege. And I just felt like my whole hippie childhood was vindicated.
Yeah. It was great to have you. We had, you know, it's exactly, I mean, we make topicals, so it's perfect.
And, awesome. Yeah, I was doing medicated massages and then combining comedy on this, like my two passions and bringing them together at the High Times. Right? It was just
That's pretty fun. It's pretty awesome.
The comedy thing we threw together so last minute. So that was just like, well, all right, we're doing it. I guess we're doing it. So
it's good though. Listen,
so you better be there next year.
Next year, I will be there. Next year, don't have it on Super Bowl fucking Sunday.
When you're talking next year, are we not talking like San Francisco in June? Or
San Francisco in June. That could be possible.
Can we please do that?
That could be very possible. I could make that. I got family up in San Fran.
Me too.
I got couches to crash on.
San Francisco in June.
I've been dying to go back up to San Francisco. They got a Chicago pizzeria up there called Paxi's Pizza. They make the crust with butter instead of oil. It's like a biscuit. It's fucking delicious. But it takes like 45 minutes to cook because it's
Chicago. Your sidebars are delicious.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. That's the only way I can love a city is if I eat a meal there that just makes me
fucking
food
orgasm. They have the best restaurants in the
country. That's the only reason I kind of enjoy really going to Reno is there's actually some really good fucking food there. The city's kind of dead. There's not much going on, but the food. Oh.
In Reno?
If you just want really good cuisine, they got really good cuisine. You want those like, holy crap, have you ever seen this much food on one plate kind of place before? They got those too.
Do they charge you extra for everything? Because that's what I find happens in San Francisco these days.
Yes.
San Francisco is expensive.
The land of extra.
Reno's cheap
as
shit.
Can I get fries with that? That's extra. Can I get ketchup? That's extra too.
Yeah,
it can be expensive. I'll be there in San Fran.
Salt? Yeah, that's extra.
I'll be there.
What about the homeless man on the corner? Yeah, he's extra too.
So moving on to the story that just made April jump out of her seat. Amoeba Records.
Yeah.
Might be selling marijuana. You read this story. I only went through it. I mean, for those of you who are listening who are not in California, there's a record store out here called Amoeba.
It's the only one left.
It's the only one.
There's in Hollywood.
The one in Hollywood. Amoeba Records.
This is the one in Berkeley that they're talking about.
Yes, they're talking about the one in Berkeley. So. But what I'm saying is Amoeba Records only exists in California.
Oh, yeah.
There's only three or four stores, I think, in all of California.
And they're going to sell
only just
weed
the headiest record store
so
ever.
And for those of you who've
has
never...
has replaced records.
Yeah, for those of you who've never heard of it, Amoeba is... They sell a lot of vinyl, but they also sell CDs. They sell almost every platform that music ever came on.
They have live
it's a lot of
music,
used
concerts indoor. They have everything, like, you know.
If you ever watch the Lemmy documentary and you want to know the type of place that Amoeba is, Lemmy walked in there because he wanted to buy the complete box set of the Beatles mono recording. And something like that you can only get at a place like Amoeba that would carry every type of music. Now, here's the funny thing. He goes in there and they don't have it set out for sale. And one of the sales guys in the back comes out and he's like, hey, this one's mine, but you're you. So here, you can have it. And sold it to him like his own. He basically sold it to the store and then sold it to Lemmy right there. So like that's the type of place it is.
Aww.
It's a really – it's a great scene if you watch the documentary.
I love him.
That's the type of place that it is. Like if they don't have something set out, there'll be guys working there. They're like, yeah, I have that vinyl in the back. I own it. I'll sell it to you.
Yeah, they sell used stuff there. It's amazing.
So it's a lot of used – if you're a vinyl head,
like
you've
– T-shirts
heard, if you're a vinyl head, you've probably heard of Amoeba. If you are getting into vinyl and you ever come out to Los Angeles, Amoeba will be a destination for you. Like that is – it's kind of the mecca of vinyl. But anyways, moving on to the story, apparently they want to start selling weed too. It's in addition to, correct?
Yeah, it's in addition to because, I mean, record sales have declined with, you know, internet stuff and downloading and whatever.
But which makes no sense because if you're a vinophile, like you still want the vinyl, right? Or are people just taking digital recordings of vinyl now?
I just feel like vinyl is the purest form of music that will never go anywhere. It's going to decline.
There goes April being a fucking hippie again.
Fuck off. I love that about her.
I mean, I'm totally
such a
relate.
Purist.
I get it. Yeah, are sales really that bad though? I feel like Amoeba. I feel like Amoeba is one of those businesses that couldn't fail if they tried to.
But doesn't it just go hand in hand? Like they should have a smoking listening lounge.
I agree with you. Like, there's not a human being who walks into Amoeba Records who doesn't smoke weed. I don't think that has ever happened.
I'm sorry, but music still needs a store.
I agree with you on that as well.
Music still needs a store. You still need to go in and listen. Like, I enjoyed walking into Warehouse or Tower Records or Amoeba.
R.I.P.
And, you know,
R.I.P.
Or just, yeah.
Not R.I.P. Amoeba.
But, like, putting on headphones and Amoeba. Listening to something and deciding if I like it or not.
Well, it's that thing about, like, are you the person who wants to know the deep cuts? Because if you just like the song.
How about my answer is yes.
But that's the thing. Like,
I want the deep cuts.
Those people who just care about the songs that they hear on the radio, that's what this modern way of streaming is for. Because they go, oh, it's a la carte programming. I'll take the songs that I want. And not the songs that I've never heard of. I feel like our generation, like people who are turning 30 now, are the last generation of people who remember
albums as a body of work.
Yeah.
The fuck?
I will.
Scary, guys.
It's a weird thing. Like System of a Down. Not necessarily a wonderful band, but Mesmerize, which is part of their double album. The second album fucking sucked, but Mesmerize. Well, there are songs on it that are good or blah. That album as a complete, put it on from start to finish, A to B, start it from beginning to end. There was something so much different when I listened to it that way. I was like, oh wow, this is actually a really good album. It flows from one song to the next. It mixes up pace. It actually had me feeling the rhythm of an album.
Before you could skip, you know, you had to play it. You had to play one side and then flip it over.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Or you know, in a tape, but like CDs, you could just like click to the next one. So people started putting out bullshit albums just for one or two hot singles that you never listen. You don't even know the other songs.
No, so that is what music stores are for. It's for the people who go, I want to hear the songs that aren't getting played on the radio. I heard this song that I like, and it made me want to hear the rest of it.
I want to hear the songs not playing on the radio.
Then it's just going to have a music drop for every single story. That's going to be a challenge now for the rest of the time. You better have a music drop ready for everything.
Okay, I'm going to try.
Everything. So Amoeba would add a dispensary to its current jazz room and promises massive marijuana synergies at the music mecca. We need supplemental income, Amoeba co-founder David Prince told the East Bay Express. That's the real truth. This helps us keep this helps keep us open and enables us to do some amazing shit. That's a direct quote, by the way.
Right? And the other one was, I fucking love it. Music and weed go together like music and weed.
They said, we want you to
that's the best quote ever.
Supplement that shit.
I guess I get it because, you know, resale stores, there isn't a ton of money in it.
Amoeba makes their money
by sheer volume. They go, if you're not going to make much money as a turnaround store, but if you're a massive turnaround store turning over 1,000 units a day, well, that'll add up to, you know, a $5,000-$6,000 profit.
I always say that the stores that are still stores and have people who, you know, business owners that still have a storefront. Now we know who the money launderers are.
That's a good way of putting it. But, you know, I've heard the
car wash.
The argument from
in New Mexico, perhaps.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean that to the hardworking people of Ventura Boulevard. But when I saw, like, when the economy tanked and all those businesses dropped, I was like, come on. I'm suspicious of the ones that are still.
My roommate, you know? Mitch, has made the argument for years.
The old furniture stores that never have anybody in them?
Yeah. Yeah, come on.
My roommate makes the argument that, while I disagree with it, I understand the argument that if you're not a restaurant, you don't need a storefront anymore. Why deal with the overhead? Why deal with the employees? Why deal with customer relations when you have the greatest store sitting right here in the internet? I was patting the computer screen, which nobody in the podcasting world can see.
The machines have taken over. No longer ever want to ever look at each other ever again.
Is that machine going to lace my sneakers for me?
I agree with you. I don't want to get rid of them, but you can't say that they're – you can't look at me right now and tell me they're necessary. You cannot tell me a storefront is a necessity.
I'll tell you whatever the fuck I want to tell
you. There's a primal.
All right, hippie.
I can. There's a primal necessity. We're human beings. We like going to the marketplace.
Tangible.
We like going to the marketplace.
Picking up, touching it, holding it.
We
cuddling.
We bring things to the marketplace. We like to like interact and do that. And so that interaction no longer needs to exist. Then what replaces
that? Is that worth 15% more to you on the price?
No, it's not. But what replaces that?
Well, going out with friends and, you know, being...
It's not the same thing.
In public and...
Yeah, what about... Yeah,
networking parties.
What about like the social, new Tupperware social parties. Side of it? Like, you can go... Like, Amoeba's a pretty sweet date.
Amoeba's a sweet...
It's a pretty sweet date.
As somebody who still likes going to the weed store, I'll admit I've had a couple of those delivery services and it's easier. I don't have to move. I don't have to get up. I don't have to go anywhere. I just click a little thing online, and boom, it's at my door.
I can burp into the microphone if I want to.
I can burp into the microphone and all that stuff.
I'm free
well, my
to
weed's
do it.
On my way.
I'm free to do it.
And it's 24 hours a day.
7 days a week.
That's what not a storefront offers you.
True.
I think that every storefront should have
storefronts or websites.
A weed vending machine in it, and life would be a lot more peaceful.
You know why you need a storefront?
Yes.
Because you can't, your website can't, you have to find ways to get your website seen. Your website's your storefront.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you get your website seen?
You'd still need a warehouse for your merchandise.
Yeah, you need a warehouse, but a warehouse certainly has a lot less employees than a storefront.
Does it though?
Maybe the,
when you have a lot of orders.
You know what? Hey, how about
you got
this?
A robot?
How about this? How about I got it, you guys. Uber for storage. Let's say you have storage in your basement, and it's safe there.
Look at that. You said it on the airwaves, so now it's out there. Anyone can do it. But that could be an idea. There you go.
Well, $1 million idea. Listen, you know what? I'm putting it out there into the airwaves.
If that comes out in the next year, we'll take credit for it. Don't worry about it. We won't take monetary credit for it, like taking money, but we'll be like, as talked about originally on the Can of Linguists episode 50, which, by the way, we haven't even celebrated. We haven't even talked about the fact that this is episode 50.
What?
Halfway to 100. We are, I know, I can't believe,
right?
I cannot believe April O'Connor has put up with me this long,
I don't know how I did it.
It's a miracle.
Fuck.
I have no idea.
I'm really, you know, and you didn't, There's no fucking Jameson right now.
No, I know. There's no fucking Jameson.
It's a fucking episode. I know. There's no fucking
Jameson. I'm drinking beer.
How dare you?
I'm drinking beer.
We're drinking Pabst. It's some bullshit.
Sorry.
It's very hipsterville's in here right now.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. No,
I'm going to go get some scotch.
From the time that I originally met April doing the sessions over...
You did the session too.
April O'Connor looking for whiskey is... Just not killing any myths.
Sitting there with that red hair going, where's the whiskey? Yeah. We know.
Like, her hands are balling in a fist right now.
She's wringing her, like she's sweating. She's got a cold sweat going right now.
Can we get her some scotch or whiskey or whatever this little redhead needs?
This is reminding me so much. Are either of you Futurama fans at all? Yes.
Yes. Yes.
The episode was on today where Bender starts creating all the little mini Benders. Mm-hmm. And all the mini Benders consume all of the alcohol on Earth. And they go to the news reporter, and it's Morbo and the blonde chick, and they're on Morbo. And he's like, all alcohol is gone, but it's okay. Only the most hardened alcoholics will suffer. And they peel back to the blonde woman who's got, like, makeup askew and her hair off. She's like, I can't speak to my kids. Oh, God.
I'm exaggerating.
That's what April reminds me of now.
No, I was exaggerating.
I can't talk to my kids. You don't have them. What the fuck?
Because it's a 50th episode. I feel like we should be celebrating right now.
We're celebrating right
we
now.
We are celebrating. I'm celebrating. I was reminiscing about the first time that I ever podcast.
Jameson. No, I'm just kidding.
I was reminiscing until you were complaining about Jameson.
I'm kidding.
About the first time I podcasted with you. That's what I was just doing. I was reminiscing.
I was amazing. Yeah.
We recorded for 3.5 fucking hours.
That's fantastic.
You've recorded with Don before.
So
right?
long.
Huh? No.
The session, Don Adams.
We just kept getting high.
I'm pretty sure I heard.
Because he left out.
I heard your podcast.
He left out
a session with Brad Sachs.
I would expect that you would forget it because he just leaves out a table full of delicious edibles that he makes.
Oh my God.
But the problem is that's all he leaves out. So you eat it and you're like, oh, that's delicious. So you finish it and then you're really high. And then you're like, I got the munchies. And there are these delicious munchies in front of me that get you even. And that turns
the
into.
The format is like by the end of the podcast, however long, we basically hit record until we're like, a day. Like, oh, I don't even think I make sense in the last like quarter of it because
April sat on the couch napping for like an hour of the podcast. Not napping, but like eating crackers.
No, I actually stretched the microphone out to me though.
That's right.
Except for when I had the crackers, I moved it away because I'm polite.
Wow.
It was pretty convenient. We gotta get Don over here. I gotta go do another session too.
We do. We should have him come on in and be on the Can of Linguists, the one who introduced us. Well, I guess we met at the Crispy Show, actually.
No, I recruited.
But then you asked me to be on
you.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
That's right. But I forgot that
recruited.
We met on a Crispy Show.
Yes.
And then all the way to last night when I beat you for the Crispy Belt.
I stabbed. Yeah. I popped your tits with the pen.
You did pop my tits with the pen.
He had balloon tits. He was trying to smother me with them, and I was like,
what?
And actually, because this is Tuesday night, but yesterday was Monday. We're recording on a Tuesday because I'm out of town this weekend. But it was the evening that Daniel Bryan announced his retirement from the WWE, so I got to interrupt April to Daniel Bryan's music while the entire bar was doing a yes chant. And I'm just going to say, I almost came to tears during that. But
I think just came. I'm a
wrestling softie.
Right.
I'm a wrestling. Listen, you know, that man gave a heartfelt retirement speech.
Interrupting,
it was beautiful.
Interrupting April. I'm a title person. I like that.
But yeah, that was our fun night. So anyways, moving on, we got our next story coming up. Colorado pot sales top $996 million, $4 million away from being a near Dr. Evil-esque level of money.
Just a tenth of a Goodell.
$4 million away from being a tenth of a Goodell.
Sweet callback.
If you're keeping a score at home. But yeah, that's like a near Dr. Evil level of money. $996 million. That was a terrible Dr. Evil, but
Every time I read off the articles that have to do with how much money, and it's always in the millions. Now we're almost in the billions. I always do the Dr. Evil because it could just
$1 billion.
I mean, it's about fucking time, people. You know, just call it Colorado. I get they have the tourists but
that's the thing. A lot of that is about the tourist activity going on.
But the population of Colorado and the tourist activity is still can't be as much as California.
I just love that you guys say tourist.
I'm just wondering. Did you see the pictures today of the streets of Denver flooded for the Super Bowl parade that they had? Oh my God. I mean, it's just the most, that's the most ridiculous Super Bowl parade I've ever seen. We're talking about 5 square blocks.
Denver's
filled,
killing it. Medical marijuana, the Super Bowl.
But I'm wondering, how dank smelling was that Super Bowl parade?
So good.
Like, that had to be the most dankety dank smelling. I feel like I so want to find a picture of it because it was a shocking amount of people. Like, you ever seen that? Like, so many people standing in one place, and you're like, ah, this is uncomfortable.
Do you remember when the Red Sox won the pennant?
Yes, I do.
I actually was living in San Francisco at the time, and I was watching it on the news. That was when the rubber bullets happened and people were flipping cars and setting on fire.
Yeah. How could I forget?
How could anybody forget? That was madness. I've never seen that many people in Kenmore Square.
The shot that the picture that circulating, which is this one that I saw, which is the picture that was taken just outside of City Hall in Denver. It looks like the crowd of people that you see at the presidential inauguration.
You have to put
like
that photo.
It's that amount. We'll post this photo so y'all can see the one that we're talking about. But it is and just think, all of them are probably high. Every one of them. So yeah, between that, the Super Bowl, you're going to have people traveling there
Is it pay? I thought Peyton was saying this was going to be his last year.
Yeah, everyone seems to be. If Peyton was smart, this would be it. Because I want to say that he, you know, gets the chance to ride off into the sunset, but he's so old and so slow. He's kind of more of
more of a
slow trot off into the sunset. Like, he's walking next to the horse towards the sunset. So it is a slow trot off into the sunset. But speaking of the Super Bowl, did anyone
it's
see?
It's impressive how old he is, though. Like, that's impressive.
39.
For an athlete? Come on, dude.
That's really impressive
huge.
To be playing at 39. Did you guys get to see, though, the video of Eli Manning when Peyton got the touchdown to seal the game?
No, because we were at High Times Cup.
Oh,
not giving a fuck.
God.
I was giving away free stuff on a stage to get more butts back in the seats.
I was massaging gangsters.
Yeah, she was massaging. That was an amazing story. Put your hands behind your back.
Put your hands behind your back. You saw me doing that move too, right?
Oh my God.
Now, you guys are aware of why Eli Manning would be upset that his brother is winning a Super Bowl right now.
Tell me
if this is the face of a guy who's happy for his brother. That's the face exactly when the touchdown was scored.
I was wondering what that face was.
That was the face that Eli made when they made the touchdown that clinched the game.
And can't he be happy for him?
Does he have a gambling problem and he bet against them?
No, because Eli had 2 Super Bowls and Peyton had 1. And that is literally the only thing that I think Eli Manning has ever had over his brother in his entire life.
So he just lost.
And when he saw that touchdown get scored, he was like, oh,
"Now
fuck.
I have to I win another
now,
one.
Now I have to win another one. Otherwise, he's gonna. God damn it! Like the look on his face is so pissed off. so poo poo.
So funny.
Poo poo face.
What a dick.
Poo poo upset face. But yeah, so
his butthole
just
is puckering.
Be fucking happy for him.
You got Peyton bringing the Lombardi Trophy home. You got marijuana sales hitting just under a tenth of a Goodell. What else does Colorado need? I mean, dude, tourism there has got to be fucking ridiculous right now. $135 million in tax fees alone. That's just the tax fees.
Their state is killing it right now.
That's $135 million to Colorado public school systems, to water and
power. Come on,
California. Imagine how much money California's economy is, even with the tourism.
This is an embarrassment.
You're making me think about the way I was.
Well, that's
tourism.
The biggest thing is just something to draw people to your state because
until
2 years ago, Colorado, like for skiing, sure, you'd go there for some nice skiing in the winter. But outside of that, during the summer, there was no draw for tourism to Colorado. Hmm. Same thing really kind of with Seattle.
I mean, know what? They strategize that shit because there's two. It's overpopulated here. It really is.
There's a lot of there are.
So I actually appreciate that it's not legal here. We don't need more of a draw.
Well, you know, here's the thing, though. I don't think if California legalizes, I don't know that we'll become a pot tourism location.
Are you fucking kidding me? Are you kidding me? It's already better than Amsterdam. We already are. It's already better than Amsterdam here.
The quality certainly is.
Cantalinguists. If that's your real name.
I would have to give that credit to Ryan. Ryan Pfeiffer named us.
Yeah, Ryan Pfeiffer did name us.
Ryan Pfeiffer, who is the...
Shout out.
Well, because we're on the Crab Diving Network, he created like a liberal politics network.
Crab Diving?
Yeah.
Network?
Yeah.
Say more.
Yeah.
A network about crab diving.
No, that's their podcast.
That's the name of their podcast, the Crab Diving awesome. Podcast.
That they have Monday through Friday. And then there's a bunch of other really good ones too. But he invited me to do a podcast and I was like, Alex, I know you've got this beautiful space and this and this big mouth, which has suited us so well.
That I do.
Yeah.
You got a big old mouth.
Yeah.
Don't shut the fuck up.
It works.
You were just like, yes, and then you had blackout sex.
Tell me why you think California, either one of you, tell me why, what about legalized marijuana would make us more of a destination than, say, a Colorado or a Washington?
Because California is a leader.
We got Disneyland. We got plenty of other shit for people to come and see. I feel like California isn't even top five. I feel like marijuana isn't even top five in reasons to come to California if it becomes legalized. Whereas in a place like Colorado, Washington, it's number two or three, if not number one. Colorado in the fall and the spring and the summer, when it's not prime skiing season, marijuana is reason number one on the tourism reason you are a tourist to Colorado. I can't think of another reason why anyone goes there. There are other reasons to come to California.
But they could come to California, go to Disneyland, and get high.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the best days of my life.
Okay, right? That's a good point. That's a good point. You're making that's a solid point.
There was a convention across the street from Disneyland that I went to with my friends from New York who came to California for the weed and KushCon. And we got high, and then we went to Disneyland and had the time of our lives.
All right.
And even got to go into Club 33, which is like that super secret Mickey Mouse club.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it literally was the funnest, fun time.
My nephew just turned two.
Like, this is worth fighting for.
We took him to Disneyland for his birthday, for his second birthday on last Friday.
What was the thing that you said that you and Jen to put the weed lemonade and
oh yeah, when we went to Six Flags, we filled one of those camel packs with like two or three bottles of the weed lemonade, and that was our drink all day long. And it's delicious stuff. B
really is.
I don't know what is like. At first I was a little bit nervous, like edibles and roller coasters, but actually. Awesome. I can't say for everyone, but for this guy, awesome. So much fun. I got on Tatsu. I fucking nearly came my pants. Oh, God. I got on Lex Luthor Drop of Doom. That one I did shit myself a little bit, but that's because it's not even a roller coaster. Those drop things, it's just like the drop is fine. I'm cool on the drop, but the trip up is just – it just sucks. There's no other way to describe it other than it sucks.
Yeah.
You're going and it's like pulling and you're just like, and then like you suddenly are having this realization of how little
you are.
Is strapping you into this rig that you're on. And you're like, so this pad across my legs is like, its failure is what causes my demise.
Yeah.
And then it goes chink. Ah, and then it's over.
You said yes to that.
Yeah, I did. I said twice, actually. I said yes to that.
What does that mean fundamentally about human beings?
Oh, that I
risk.
You know what? Roller coasters specifically, it's about getting to face the fear in the safest environment possible. I mean, it's safer than being on an airplane or in an automobile.
I'm gonna come to you for more like explanations. I like your explanations.
Right? But I mean, what other way can you put your body through something that, like, if you were experiencing that in any, if your body was experiencing that in any way that wasn't a roller coaster, it would be moments before your death, probably. That your body was feeling these twisty, turny, upside down, that right. speed going bang, like. That's being tossed from a car is what that feels like.
It does. You look like you were wanted to say something.
Really?
really, did I?
Did I?
Did I look like I wanted to say something? Huh. That's really awesome.
No, I thought she was like being patiently waiting for us to shut the
fuck
up.
I'm patiently waiting for a track to explode.
I'm not patient.
You got me going now. Now I'm doing
it too. I would be like waving my hand up like me.
Motherfucker, let me speak. Motherfucker, let me speak.
Throwing air quotes.
Rolling down the street in my 6 foot.
Oh, shit. Cruising down the street in my 6 foot.
Cruising down the street in my 6 foot.
Easy. Oh, gosh. I do love me. I don't know that I love me some easy, but I do kind of love me some easy. All right. So we got one more story to get to before we get to the end. Australia to legalize medical marijuana. Tell us about this, April, because I don't. So are they starting to let people grow, or are they just saying that, like, all right, we're establishing the laws? What's going on down there? What's going on down under?
Well, they want to start to do clinical trials, and they want to do testing, but they can't unless they start allowing legal cultivation.
Cultivation
for medicinal purposes, yeah. But legal cultivation. So that's where they're at right now.
They want to get into clinical trials, but the only way to get into clinical trials is to have medical. Okay, that makes sense.
How are you going to test what you don't have?
That's a very good point, April.
You got to make it happen
that's
first.
A very, very good point.
Is the second line clocking a bitch, slap?
Jocking a hoe.
Knuckleheads yeah. out there going shoot somebody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the boys in the hood are always hard.
Sorry. So allowing controlled cultivation locally will provide the missing piece for the sustainable legal supply of safe medicinal cannabis. Yeah. Fucking grow it there. So that's cool. So they want to
listen, man. Australia is they're fucking progressive as shit. But the weird thing is, like, it's one of the few places I've ever seen where if the government makes a decision, the people really kind of just go like, all right, well, we hired you to look out for our best interests. And if you say, like, the gun thing, what they did with guns in Australia, I really believe, fortunately, I don't know how I feel about guns, but
it's different.
That's
there.
A different conversation. But there, they said, they're like, listen, we just can't have them anymore. And the people went, all right.
Yeah,
here's our guns.
Because they're not founded on guns. We're founded on them.
Yeah, it's
right to bear arms was right from the beginning.
You say it's not founded on guns, but they had right to bear arms in the Australian Constitution as well.
They had the
and it's also
outback. Fighting pythons and
it's also a state that or a country that was founded as this. A prison island.
Yeah,
so
they're criminals.
You bet that those criminals loved their guns and their weapons of destruction.
By the way, their crimes are so hilarious. If you actually look at their crimes, like,
yeah, I've taken a look. There's a couple good websites
A wine that they sell that's like all the crimes. All like you can collect the bottles. It's all the crimes of the.
But yeah, Australia.
Wait, what crimes of what
prisoners that were sent there? And they're like each bottle is like who this guy is, and then what his crime, and the crime's like
because.
He trespassed into a pond.
Yeah, because Australia was a prison island. That was where England sent all of the prisoners that they couldn't deal with anymore.
It wasn't just prisoners. It was they became prisoners, but it was anyone they found to be untoward, were unkempt people.
Against the ways of the empire.
Of the empire, of the elite.
We are trying
class.
To have something a little bit more classy, you'll see.
Send those elsewhere.
If you wouldn't
so
mind,
them for
if you wouldn't mind
crimes.
Tullying off to Australia
that's
with
it,
yourself.
Yes. Oh my God, she found it. 19 crimes. I love you.
Dude. This
there you go. Australian wine. Yes. It's called 19 crimes.
I know this because my little Australian roommate just she didn't get her work visa, so she had to go to Canada.
Oh, don't get my
I bought that wine for her.
One of my best friends in comedy, Alex Hughes, is banished to Australia, his home country right now. He's been here for
brutal.
I think 5 years was his visa.
They're tough, man. They crack down on people.
And this is a guy who was a student, graduated. He didn't get his he came to become a virtuoso guitar, but he just graduated with a master's from the Musicians Institute, was working at Universal as a professional musician in two of their shows, was working at Disneyland as a musician at California Adventure and Disneyland.
He sounds talented. Keep that was competition out.
Yeah, and they told him, nah, go back to Australia.
Yeah, because my cousin Vinny is in your same category.
Yeah, I mean, guys like him, though, who like
you have to do stuff
was paying his taxes, was loving this country, was a model citizen.
Well,
he wasn't a citizen.
It's all about how much you pay your visa lawyer, honestly.
No, it's not even. I mean, that's the thing. It's $10,000 just to ask them. Yeah. Show up, give them $10,000, whether the answer is yes or no.
I know. You have to have it in the bank the entire time.
There's also
too.
Australia also has a lottery. So this poor girl who had my roommate that didn't get her visa was denied. It was denied for an extraordinary artist visa. Meanwhile, her friend Diane, sorry for naming names, but she got she won the lottery.
Hi, Diane.
She just
won the lottery.
So this girl that's trying so hard to like become an actress and be in Hollywood. And here's her just friend Diane, who's just coming here for no reason. You know what I mean? Just won the lottery.
Yeah, because money talks when it comes
when
to citizenship.
When you're talking like
really.
Won the lottery, are we money talking talks? About like Goodell's?
No.
We're talking
the
like
Visa lottery.
The Visa lottery. Visa lottery.
Yeah, like you just got.
Not like she came here and bought a fucking lottery ticket.
No. There's a lottery for a visa.
Like to be legally here to work and be a citizen.
It's just a lottery.
Well, there. Okay,
it's just a lottery.
You can get student visas. You can get a bunch of, but for just plain work visas,
it depends on what you're doing for work. It has to be specific.
It depends on what you're doing, but for the majority of work visas, yeah, you're just thrown in a lottery.
As long as you qualify.
If you qualify, because more people apply than obviously visas were willing to give out. So they just take all of the people who qualify, throw them in a bucket, draw the number of names that we're allowed to give out, and that's the way the visa lottery works.
Well, yeah. Just like an open mic lottery. I mean, it fucking makes sense.
Except for with where you get to live, you know. I honestly got really present to the fact of my American, my citizenship, my rights, and what I could do with my limitless possibilities by being a citizen that she couldn't do.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hey, all you Australian people who wanted to immigrate here, you're going to have marijuana there now too, so you don't have to stress about coming here just for the week.
Well, that's eventually.
That, I think, is the gist of this story.
My old roommate, she's from Italy. I was shocked at how much she had to go through and how much she had to pay just to be here.
Yeah, it can be a lot of money. It is an expense. Like I said, it's $10,000 just to go in.
I think hers is like she had to have 25 in the bank just to do it or something.
Mandelberg, don't you have like an old roommate story?
I'm sure I always have an old roommate. I always have a roommate story to go to. So all right, so we're wrapping up. So what we got to promote? What you got coming up in the next few weeks? Miss Leffert, what would you like to promote on our show?
Well, thanks for asking. I just became an ambassador for it's the Dream Builders Project, and there's a celebrity gala on March 3rd. I have an Eventsbrite on my page, Dinah Leffert, Twitter, Dinah Leffert, my Facebook.
It's D-I-N-A-H-L-E-F-F-E-R-T.
And you can go to Dream Builders Project. Just Google that and you'll see a very worthy cause. And it's a black tie event. And it's for the Audrey Hepburn Center, the CARE Center. So it's like kids who are sexually abused or neglected or, you know, trafficked.
Well, that's important, awesome work that you are doing.
Thanks.
Anything that we could do to help, that is a meaningful cause. That's
yes.
Very
so
awesome
I know,
hear.
Especially in the cannabis community, you know, if you guys are like rolling and you're ballers And this is also a poker tournament. So if you know how to play poker and you're balling right now, just come get a ticket and come to this thing.
I might grab a ticket and come on down. That actually sounds like something I could do.
I just want to double check
so March 3rd?
Yeah, I just want to just since we smoked some weed.
Some weed?
Yeah. Just like
well, will you check on the date? What do you got going on, April?
All night. My bed. at Canalinguist, at April Fulin.
At the bed.
At my motherfucking bed.
Well, this weekend, Valentine's weekend, I will be up in Reno for five shows in Reno, one show in Carson at the Nugget there. Then I'm going to be up in Redding later on in March. I know I'm going up to Washington in May. So I got a bunch of tour dates coming up, which is it's awesome. I love being out on the road. Love being out on the road. It's fun. Did you confirm the date with us for that tournament?
March 3rd.
March the 3rd. That's a Thursday, by the celebrity way. Thursday, March 3rd gala. At the Aubrey Hepburn.
It's a celebrity charity gala and poker tournament. It's at the benefiting the Audrey Hepburn Care Center at the Children's Hospital, but it's not there.
Okay.
So they just need to go. Just Google it.
All right. Very good. Google that. Go see it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you so much for coming in and being our guest.
Thank you, Crab Diving, for 50 crab diving episodes.
50 episodes. Thank you, Rafopoulos Studios, for having us in here.
Come and see me at the Comedy Store on Sunday.
And go see that Miss Leffert at the Comedy Store on Sunday.
And the Headroom Gallery every Tuesday for the Headroom Gallery Comedy Night, Hash Bar, Dabs Bar.
Hell yeah. Good night, people. Have a good one.